Hey, new types, what's going on? Back at it again with episode 2 of the Japan Talk Western Talk podcast.
Japan Talk, baby.
My name is Spencer. I'm joined by Will.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be talking about, we got 4 main topics to discuss. Doing this a little interesting, we're going live first on YouTube, and then we'll take the clips after, and we'll distribute it on YouTube, as well as Spotify. So, if you want to get in touch with us, you can hit us up on Twitter, YouTube. What else we got? Send us a mail, an email. That'd be cool. Any topics that you want us to discuss, we'll be here. All right. There's no real structure to these. We kind of just, like, go for the news. So we'll talk about Japan talk, and then we'll talk about Western talk, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, just jumping in, kind of just, you know, casual, fun talk.
That's right.
We usually do.
That's right. So we got our first topic of the day, the Japan talk sector. We got Sony is skipping out. What are they doing?
I'm on E3.
E3. So Sony is not going to be attending E3 2019.
Yeah.
They do not want to program around E3. They don't want to attend a booth. They don't want to do anything. They don't even want to do a thing outside of E3, like usually during the time of E3.
Yeah, there's some, yeah, they'll do out, you know.
Yeah. Some companies do kind of like a thing, like their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided no. They decided they weren't going to be involved with E3. They did not want to limit themselves. And they were trying to find new and engaging ways to engage with their community. So, thoughts on this? Sony's E3 conferences were getting a little stale, in my opinion. They usually get less and less exciting each year. I think the last good one was probably... 2011, 2012, when Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake were announced.
Was it that long ago?
That was the last good one in my mind. Yeah, the PS4 had been out.
Yeah.
Probably for like a year. I think it was like 2013.
I remember the last thing was when they came out with the PS4.
Yeah.
That was like a big deal.
Yeah, and then I think they had their whole thing about used games.
That was all within the same, yeah.
That was like a fucking, because Xbox had come out with like their
stance. The Xbox was excellent. Yeah, yeah, their stance. Yeah, you can't, you know, Sony came out with that video about trading, like how you could like borrow friends.
Oh yeah, this is the game. Here you go. Yeah, that was in my mind, like, you know, E3 is going a while back for me, but like in my mind, that is the last exciting one. I've been watching E3 probably since I was young. Like,
yeah.
Probably like on TV when G4 TV.
When you used to have it on TV, from G4
and even Spike TV.
Even Spike tried it, right. You know.
So, I feel like that was the last exciting one in my mind, like the PS4 initial
that
release.
Was the one that left an impression.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know.
Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasy, all that good stuff. That was pretty much it. I mean, I feel like they've been going shorter. I feel like they've been going more, like, cinematic, I guess. Like, they don't really have, the gameplay on stage anymore. It's kind of just, like, you know, trailers and whatnot. So it's really not, like... You're not missing anything. I feel like Sony's not really missing out. I feel like it's just kind of one of those things where they can just release online and get as many views, you know?
Right.
So, E3, whatever. I still have never attended E3, but I could imagine attending the show floor is more exciting than the fucking...
Actually going to the press events and stuff are actually pretty much a slogfest.
The press... And, like, the thing is with press events, it's like... You have the media there to cover it, but like the thing is, they already released the information way ahead of the press conference, so it's not even like real time anymore. It's like things get leaked, like news sites pick it up, they get more views on it.
It happened not that long ago with Sony stuff,
right?
They just like remember that time recently, they released like all their stuff.
Oh, yeah, they just announced like,
whatever.
Yeah,
and they don't care.
There's not even a point to attending it anymore because like it's. There's no exclusivity, you know? Like, I can imagine if you were, like, a diehard, like, if you were treated well by the media, like, if you were like, hey, like, Sony's gonna pay us to, you know, cover this or whatever. Like, I can understand that just for the business aspect, like, advertising and stuff, but as far as, like, if you're a diehard fan, it's like, well, yeah, you're going to get, what, like, one piece of swag. That's about it. So, I don't know. All right, moving on. We got Final Fantasy XV DLC canceled. So we got that going on. No, you're fine. We're moving on. We're moving right along. Alright. So they're going to keep the fourth DLC, Arden. They're going to keep that one, but the Aranea, Lunafreya, and Noctis episodes are not going to be included in this release.
Yeah, no, you like it. It's either you like it or you hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're either a fan, you're disappointed by it. I still feel, I don't know really how to feel about it. I mean, I got 15 pretty much just recently because I just refused to really buy it until it was cheap. I'd say like for $20. And I feel like the game story, I feel like it maybe could have used that DLC. The stuff that got canceled. I
think for the other characters?
The ones that got canceled. I feel like it could have used that.
Yeah, I mean,
but I mean, as a whole, I mean, I think you should just take 15 and just, you know, just put it in the trash. I think it's done. Not like no, I think it's fine that they want
to. It had a long run.
It had a really really long. They definitely salvaged it.
Yeah.
From what they did from how it came out in the beginning. I think it's this. I'm glad we got the Arden one because I feel like it could shed some more.
See, Arden was one of the more interesting characters. Like, you know, Lunafreya and Aranea, it's like, okay, like they were good. They were, you know, Aranea was a great supporting character in the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
However, Arden was one of the more interesting stories, and I feel like you got a glimpse of it more when you were playing, like, you know, Prompto and the Ignis DLCs. But yeah, Arden's the really the main one that I was actually excited for.
And the Lunafreya one, though, I feel like I don't know what more they could.
And the Noctis one is like not necessary at all. Like, why would they?
I don't know.
The main campaign was Noctis.
That's the thing. So I don't really get why they wanted to do that.
Right.
They said, though, was they were going to actually do 15, like, the Arden was going to come out, but the other ones, they think, people still believe that they were going to actually have them in little, like, cutscenes, like, story element of what Noctis and Lunafreya,
whatever they were
going to be, they were going to put some, I don't know if it would be, like, a little anime, very shorts or something like that, but I mean, Arden was the most important one. It's good that, at least you're getting that. Comrades is going to be coming out can just do Comrades.
Is it free or is it
going to be? It's not free, but you can buy it like really cheaply just as a standalone, which I would recommend because if you're not really a fan of Monster Hunter, this is like a much.
We've been having a blast.
Yeah, it's a lot like. It's just a very quick, fast-paced version of what you want from like Monster Hunter.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been having such a blast playing that. I feel like Comrades is one of the more best, like the better, you know, of that kind of genre, like just, you know, mission-based multiplayer co-op,
and
stuff like that. I feel like it's really strong. And honestly, like Final Fantasy 15 had a great run. They've supported it well enough with a lot of the content that's been coming out for it. So. For Tabata to move on and kind of do his own studio, like Godspeed, like
I look forward to actually seeing what he does because he handled 15 much better, basically picking up the pieces of what Nomura did.
love him or hate him, Nomura is kind of that taint on Square Enix that won't go away.
No, he's really, you know, he is.
But, you know, it's interesting to see the development cycle from, like, him originally helming that to, like, Tabata. And Tabata, I feel like, did a great job. But
yeah, he did.
No, it's funny. Nomura, I just, you know, like, Kingdom Hearts 3, the PR team for Square Enix had already focused on getting that out. So, you know, kind of helping Nomura because his thoughts are kind of all over the place. he kind of came out and said, like, oh, well, they didn't really shed light on the progress of Final Fantasy VII, the remake, because a lot of people are like, well, did you just forget about that? Because, like, it was announced, like, 6 years ago, and then, like, people kind of forgot about it. But now he said the progress is steady, and...
I cannot believe it's been that... I can't believe the trailer. It's been like,
well, think long. About... I mean, think about originally when Final Fantasy Versus 13 was announced.
Versus 13.
Can you... Like, that was all Nomura projects, and I feel like Nomura kind of just, like, has these big ideas and then just doesn't really deliver until, like, he's forced to. Like,
he kind of gets bored and maybe moves on to with another idea.
Like, when the PR for Square Enix is kind of just like, yep, let's focus on one project at a time. You know, you're kind of like, oh, okay.
Take your Ritalin tomorrow. Take your Ritalin tomorrow.
Take your Ritalin.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be good regardless, like, the content that will come out of 15. And I'm really excited for Tabata's projects.
Like, I am too, yeah. I look forward to seeing where he, like, moves on to what he does.
Yeah.
Because he definitely proved himself. You know.
All right, what do we got? So, moving on from the Japanese side of the world, let's go into our Western Talk segment. So we have a couple new exciting things to talk about. One of them is the release of Fallout 76. It is out.
Yep.
It is making waves in the news and for other YouTubers and media people.
Yeah, a lot of different reasons, yeah.
Memes. Definitely memes. Mm-hmm. A lot of memes. And then we're going to talk about some HRX stuff for Hi-Rez and just all the excitement around Paladins and Smite and all that good stuff. So let's talk about Fallout 76. What are your initial impressions? What are you thinking? Do you think it's salvageable? What do you think?
Fallout 76 is probably like the most like solid multiplayer that's come out like in a while. You know.
Yeah, no. That was complete.
It is. So when I first saw this and I was talking with Spencer about it, we had thought that Fallout 76 would be, all right, it's possibly going to be like Fallout 4 with multiplayer. Doesn't seem like that hard of a concept. It somehow looks like it's Fallout 3 with... I mean, this looks like, and I hate sometimes saying it, where it looks like a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
It does. Because obviously, as you know, there are some quality free-to-play games. This looks like, this is a AAA studio.
And you're coming
$60-$80 you're spending for whatever version. And
it looks like Tryon Worlds. It looks like Tryon Worlds version of Defiance 2050.
It looks like... it looks like absolute garbage. And it's not just how the game moves gameplay wise, the glitches and everything. It's just how the game looks too. I mean, it just doesn't. Their engine, I've realized, I don't think can support what they want to do. I really worry if it's going to be salvageable because I don't know if it really. Because there seems to be a ton of issues. I don't know if it can be.
It's a lot of just bugs and lag and just like stupid shit that a multiplayer game comes with, like you know, usually out of the water. But also just the fucking gunplay. Some of the gameplay mechanics.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't know. Can they like fix that immediately? Because it looks so...
like, is it bad engineering? Is it just because the game went online and they were kind of using the same? The engine.
But right? It's their engine. I'm thrilled to keep on looking. To see what goes on with, because I'm blown away by it.
I feel like you can't put like something as complex as the VAT system and try and replicate that in multiplayer.
It seems like such a single player thing that when I first saw it, I was actually surprised the VAT system was in it.
Still, right,
because it looks like I don't know. I just thought it would have been more of a it's a like, it's a first person, like, open world a game. It's like, but it's just lifeless, though. That's the thing I don't know if they can correct. They have to. We've said this a long time ago. It's the apocalypse. I get it.
Yeah.
But all brown, gray.
Why is it brown?
No human contact. I mean, whatsoever. I mean, you just have robot contact and stuff. I mean, that it's just. There are so many problems with it other than just how the, you know, like what you said, like the initial multiplayer hiccups, lag, glitches, and stuff. I don't know. But I am curious to see where it goes, though. I'm like I said, I'm really curious. Because it's not a great start. Why is it brown? Why is it all brown? Why am I collecting just models?
I don't know, some fun pieces of content I found were just, like, the meme video, like, Fallout 76, like, AAA experience. Some of the, you know, definitely the Jimquisition and all that stuff. Just hilarious content that's been coming out and just fucking roasting that game.
Oh. No, I just don't get, you have these publishers and just, it's like they're looking at this game, right?
Right.
And they're testing it. And they're saying, like, yeah, I'm confident with his work. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, the standard is gone. Not that side, which is...
I don't know how you can release stuff. Like, just be proud. Like, and the thing is, you look at other online endeavors, like Elder Scrolls Online, and it's like, that feels like a totally different Elder Scrolls proprietary because it doesn't run on the same engine as Skyrim or Morrowind.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of feels like its own world, in a sense, which is what it needs.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just, like, plop the same engine into a multiplayer and expect it to work. Like, I feel like...
That's the thing.
I feel like that's what Fallout 76 tried to do.
And that's you also have to remember, like, Fallout was already... I mean, not even excluding some of the Elder Scrolls, but Fallout... from all the recent has always been kind of like
as a game, yeah.
Yeah. Has always the way it handles things, it's always been buggy.
Yeah.
It's always been buggy with
4. Yeah, 4 is like the most strongest one. If you look at it, it's like, you know.
Yeah, no, it is.
And why does 4 not, like, why does 76 not look like 4 is beyond me. Like, I feel like it's a downgrade, right?
Well, it is, yeah.
Like, from what you said before, it just feels like that old school PS3.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and I'm like, just, and I'm not the one to complain about graphics, but like,
that's, I'm the same, but
just the way the gameplay and everything looks,
it's
like,
right, the graphics aren't going to, at least for me personally, like, it's not always a make or break thing, because something could still be a ton of fun, and it's not like, oh man, super realistic looking, but it's how it's executed. Yeah. Fallout, the thing that kills it, art wise, is that it tries to be realistic in far as how it looks, and it's like, no, it looks like, you know, we always talk about, like, old Call of Duty has that, like, look to it. Those games all have this to it that's just very odd. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing how it goes down the road. Elder Scrolls Online went through hiccups and everything. They weren't like that, though.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls was more or less the typical multiplayer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Quest, the way the open world was. They fixed that. Now, Elder Scrolls Online, I mean, it's a great game.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's great now, but Fallout, I feel like there's a lot they have to do.
Yeah, a lot more to improve for Bethesda and just in general. And it's kind of sad. I mean, Bethesda, like, is known for quality. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was just kind of a dip.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to our last topic here.
Bigger, more multiplayer stuff.
Yeah, we got HRX in the happening. Probably ending by the time this is over.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of exciting stuff. Number one, the biggest probably announcement was the cross-platform play.
Cross-platform.
Between Paladins, Smite, Realm Royale.
Yeah.
Realm Royale.
Yep.
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I am pumped by this. Nothing is better than freaking cross-play with any... So now you have... It could be PC, with PS4 right. and Xbox and Switch. Everyone now will be coming together in 2019.
Accounts, no issues.
That's like, that's the thing too, is that they're one of the few companies now that they're really pushing it, is that are doing this, is now if you have an account on PS4 and you want to try it on PC, you can have that same account on the PC with your same items and stuff. I love it. Because the thing is, more games that are multiplayer dependent should have crossplay. Because you don't have to have the worry about, like, oh, you know, this console on PC doesn't have the player base. You know, the player base isn't there.
Yeah, and now you're kind of unifying the player base and everyone can play with their friends.
Right. There's no divide, and you have more people now. When you have more people in a game, you'll have more matches. You know, I mean, it's just
you can unify the latency issue. Right. Like
there's not a split.
And then like preference of controller, who fucking cares? Like, right. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And they said they're going to be adding that actually as a recommendation. Like, do you want to play with people more that use controllers, or do you want to play more people using a keyboard, a mouse, and stuff? And that's going to be all integrated with everyone to search for.
So yeah, I mean,
it's great.
There might, in regards to shooters, like obviously there's a difference with someone who plays a mouse versus an analog stick, you know, just the depth of the field. But I don't think it caps the player's. I don't think there's an issue with player skill when it comes to that. I think it's just, just preference of motion in regards to the controller or the mouse, but
yeah, right.
It doesn't really matter in my opinion. Like, if I'm more for unifying player bases and stuff like that. So
no, I just love the idea because, like I said, especially somebody's playing on console, you have that worry of, is this game going to die soon?
Right.
Or is there going to be enough players in like 2020? Like, if you still like this game. Well, you have to worry.
Yeah, and it saves costs, and not only that, but like just so many different good things about cross platform. Like, you don't have to worry about the server shutting down.
Exactly. That's kind of weird. When you have more of the community, it's all around. It's excellent. Yeah. I mean, it's really awesome.
But yeah, just, you know, moving on from the general benefits of that, like just benefits for high res in particular, like unifying that player base, because it's something that Blizzard kind of should learn from. Like, I feel like, you know.
Yeah, they should. I mean, it is kind of archaic if you think about it, like Overwatch and things.
And Diablo.
Which is, if you think about how things are still isolated, right. And Overwatch being so popular, right? Console and PC are still separated.
I don't know if you got to see it, but there was a video recently by Seagull, Overwatch player.
Yeah.
Released a video called The State of Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it because it was kind of just like one of those things where, you know, he was complaining about it shouldn't be a coin flip when you go into competitive matches. And, like, obviously there's that difference between pro play and, like, casual play.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It still feels like, you know, a coin flip when you get into there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with games like Paladins, it's like, well, it's more strategic because you have the card system.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And you don't have, like, such a fucking forced meta like Overwatch. But anyway, with more information coming around from HRX, we also have a new hero coming to the realm in Paladins. Realm Royale finally getting the console beta that everyone's been looking for, because I feel like it's been a meme where they kind of announced it and then
I know.
Had like one closed alpha and like didn't tell anyone. But there's just a lot going on with Hi-Rez, and honestly they're a company not to fuck with anymore. Like, I feel like they're just a force.
No, I think that whole meme thing of like, oh, it's a clone thing. It's like they have really been doing incredibly well, especially with, you know, with Smite and Paladins.
Yeah,
like especially the work in Paladins.
Yeah,
you know.
And Realm Royale, I mean, like, obviously it's an alpha game. Like, there are things to improve on. I hate the arguments that I get into people with the internet. It's like, well, it shouldn't excuse, like, you segregating the player base. It's their game. Like, right. They're giving us the chance to look at it before they even, like, release it. And then even, like, with games like Fortnite, like, which has been in early access for how long? But, like, I don't know. I feel like Fortnite is just kind of, like, there now.
Yeah.
But with Hi-Rez, it's like, there's nothing to complain because they literally give you for free. Like, there's so many other shady developers that'll, like, charge you $40 for a closed alpha. But, like, you have Fortnite, you have Realm Royale, even Paladins. Like, when Paladins was in that early access stage, a lot of people were like, oh, free-to-play Overwatch. Well, it's like, yeah, well, how do you think they amassed the player base? Like,
I know. that's the thing. And from what they've been doing recently within Paladins, just the other day, it hit one of, like, their highest, like, logins.
Well, now they can charge for the game. That gives them, like, the, you know, hey, digital deluxe edition. Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
Exactly.
Now they have justification to charge for the game, and people will happily pay. Like, and the amount of content you're getting. Like, you can pay for a battle pass and, or a season pass and get all the battle passes, all the champions, like, there's no drought for content. Meanwhile, Overwatch, like, releases a hero every fucking 6 months, and you're like, this is slow. You know?
Yeah, no, it's...
I always feel like a Paladins is, like, once every 2 weeks.
Or something. It feels like it. No, it does feel like that. And more recently, the champions have been more and more interesting, especially when they released just the other day the Amani character.
Right. And that production value is cinematic.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was out of nowhere.
Blizzard, watch out.
Well, I was surprised. It's like, whoa, they didn't do, like, the, their animated, approach. They did a CG.
Right.
CGI approach. Like, it was pretty, they were definitely flexing their muscles with that. So it was, like, surprised. Like, wow, okay. Right, high res. Like, here you go.
Budget.
Here you go, yeah. Hey, evil mojo.
Big budgets. Yeah. Oh, man. If only Stan Lee were alive to see it.
Hey, yeah, I know. Stan Lee, I know. Did so much.
It was supposed to be half the universe, not a whole universe.
Yeah.
Poor Thanos. Well, I mean, that concludes our scheduled topics, but if there's anything you want to talk about, I'll leave it up to you. And we also will leave it up to the viewers. For those of you that listen to us, either on YouTube or wherever, thank you for watching. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like I said, check us out on Twitter. Engage with us there. Engage with us here. We'll try and live stream these podcasts in the future.
Yeah.
That way we can have some sort of engagement with the viewers. And you can definitely let us know. The YouTube clips have been performing, you know, better than I thought. There was actually some good engagement on a lot of the Western Talk subjects. Mm-hmm. If you want to engage with us on the YouTube comments, that'd be great. I'll reply to anyone. But yeah, I think that does it for our podcast today. Like I said, if you don't have anything else to discuss, I'll end it here.
You covered everything.
That's right. All right. Thank you so much for listening, tuning in. Like I said, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you want to talk to us, we are here. Later, new types.
Catch you later, guys.